I had a student in Thailand who was always itching to get out into the forest, complaining that life in the monastery was placing too many constrictions on his meditation. And so finally he got out into the forest. He had his own little hut, his own mountain, nothing to do but meditate all day long. And for the first couple of months his meditation was miserable. And there's nobody he could blame it on. He couldn't blame it on the schedule. He couldn't blame it on other people. He couldn't blame it on the location. All the convenient scapegoats were not there. And so finally he took himself in hand. He reminded himself, is at the very least I'm learning the perfection of endurance. And there's several lessons to be drawn from that. One is to remember there are bound to be ups and downs in the meditation. You have to watch out for the tendency to want to be a jhana junkie or an insight junkie. In other words, to go for the hits, and then to feel frustrated when you can't get the mind to settle down as it was before. You can't get the insights that you had before. You're not in the zone that meditators like to get into. And you have to learn how to deal with those ups and downs in a mature way, instead of being like the typical chunky who just gets really frustrated and difficult to deal with when he can't indulge in his addiction, can't get the hit, can't get the pleasure he wants. We're here to build character, not just to have the hits of insight or the hits of concentration. I think of that phrase, building character, immediately think about Calvin and Hobbes. One of my favorite cartoons is where Calvin does an imitation of his father. He says, Calvin, go do something you hate, build some character. And yeah, there are a lot of things that build character that we don't like, but the trick to it is learning how not to hate it, how to actually learn how to like it. That was the monk's saving thought there, was at least I'm developing something good out of this, develop some character. There's something to show for this and to actually enjoy that. We had that phrase in the chat just now about right effort, learning how to generate desire to abandon unskillful qualities and generate the desire to develop skillful ones. In other words, you have to learn how to talk yourself into liking this, what you're doing. And see, this is an opportunity to develop good qualities all around. There are good qualities to be developed by meditating, and other good qualities to be developed by working in the orchard, good qualities to be developed by cleaning up. And the nice thing about being in a monastery and doing these things is there's nobody competing with you. No one's making it a race to see who has better qualities. But you can make it a race with yourself. And John Fung used to call this looking for the grass at the corral door. There was one time he was going to take a group of his students up to meditate at the jetty, and someone had left a huge mess. And so instead of meditating, they had to clean up the mess. And one of the women complained. And he said, Don't criticize them. They gave us this opportunity to make some merit. And told the story about the grass at the corral gate. As soon as you open the corral gate, all the cows go rushing out to look for the grass out in the meadow. And there was grass right there at the gate, right at the post. And none of the cows eat that. But here's something that's right nearby, something you can do, and there's a good benefit for your character that comes out of that. to look around. There are opportunities to do good everywhere. And think of all the good qualities you're developing. There's that phrase, spiritual materialism, and people tend to look down on the idea of getting something out of the meditation. And it's properly applied to the idea that you're going to get a hit every time you sit down and close your eyes. The rapture is going to come, the bliss is going to come, the insights are going to come pouring out of the mind. And then you sit there, of course that doesn't happen, and you get frustrated. That kind of materialism actually keeps you immature. But there's another kind of materialism. There are good qualities of mind you can develop. There's the list of the perfections, generosity, virtue, renunciation, discernment, persistence, endurance, all those good Capricorn virtues, truth, determination, goodwill, equanimity. As John Fung liked to use to say, the Buddha was born in all his many lifetimes up into becoming a Buddha. He was born for the sake of developing these qualities. He amassed these qualities. The list in the suttas is of the noble treasures. Conviction, a sense of shame, a sense of compunction, virtue, knowledge or learning, generosity and discernment. These are treasures that as you build them into your mind, they're there. No one else can take them away. They stick with you even after death. So trying to amass these things is actually not bad. Because as you're amassing these things, of course, you're not taking anything away from anyone else. You're spreading the good benefits around. This is kind of a kind of greed, you might call it, that actually has no bad consequences. So when things are difficult, look around. I knew of another monk. I didn't know him personally, but I read an article he'd written one time about how when he'd gone to Asia, he tended to look down on the monks and nuns who puttered around the monastery. He was going to do nothing but meditate. And he found that, of course, his meditation got pretty dry very quickly. And there was something uplifting about just doing a little something here or there. Nothing that anyone forced you to do, something you voluntarily decided to do, to clean up a little bit or to straighten things out a little bit or whatever. And they actually had the juice to keep their meditation going. All this relates to a quality that John Mahabua defined as singleness of mind, the ekagata. He said in his definition of the term, it's not just that mind is one point, it's the mind has a solid stability to it that can weather the ups and downs, whether the ups and downs in your outside conditions or ups and downs in your meditation. Whatever the ups and downs are, you want to have an even keel. So you can take them in stride. So when the hits come, you're not overwhelmed by them. And when they don't come, you don't start behaving like a cocaine addict who's desperate for the next hit. Because what all too often happens then, of course, is that you get surrounded by this sea of annoyance. Everything is bad. Everything is wrong. And there's a certain charge that comes with that. Just allowing yourself to feel that your anger is justified, that you these things really are unfair, they're really not right. And you can be right. But to get angry over them is wrong. But there's a charge that comes with that. On the one hand, it lets you off the hook. Meditation isn't going well. It's not because of you. It's because of these horrible outside conditions. And it's just the physical charge that comes when you can get angry a bit. The adrenaline comes in and there's a surge of energy. And you feed on that. But it's really poor food. It's aggravating food. What you want to feed is on the sense that here's some opportunity to straighten things out a little bit, clean things up a little bit. Look for the opportunities to do good. They're there. Because after all, there's a sense of well-being that comes with being generous. And sometimes that's what your meditation needs, is a little bit of that juice. The juice that comes from a generous mind. So it's the kind of character we're trying to build. The character that, like the Buddha eventually, who commented that in the course of his career, or the course of his quest for awakening, he never let pain overcome his mind. He never let pleasure overcome his mind. He was able to use pain and use pleasure as he kept developing all of his perfections, as he kept building his character. And when you have that quality of character, then you find it's even more solid than your concentration. Concentration gives a solidity of one sort. But the solidity of a well-built character, that can carry you through even when the concentration gets weak, or the concentration has its ups and downs, or the insights don't come. But you can develop discernment in other ways. We all think that insight means seeing things in terms of inconstancy, stress, not self, seeing the structured nature of reality and how emptied all this, and those are the important insights, but there are other insights in how do you keep yourself going, how do you maintain your stamina in the midst of the ups and downs. That requires insight too, and it gives you really good insights into the workings of your mind. You come up across some of the defilements and that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. So insights are everywhere. As you try to develop good qualities of mind, as you try to build your character, as you learn to do things you don't like to do, but you learn to want to do them.